glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Just want to give a quick advertisement as we bring the lights up. The front row of Redemption Church is a good place to sit. I'll tell you what, if you ever thought to yourself, I can't hear the music good enough, front row. If you ever thought to yourself, man, I wonder what it sounds like when everybody else sings, front row. And I'll tell you, if you're thinking to yourself, man, that might not be a pleasant experience, then you've obviously never sat in front of the golden tones of Mr. Robert Cortez before, because that boy sings. Well done, sir. So, front row, feel free to sit there whenever you want. All right. My name is Scott, and I'm the youth minister at Redemption Church. That means I'm responsible for children between the ages of 12 and 18. I'm also an active participant in our Connect groups, teach a couple occasionally, and now I am a part-time pulpit minister, so that's how we do this. I want to thank everybody for coming to church today, especially visitors and folks we haven't seen in a while. Thank you for coming. It's great to see you. Woo! A lot of you might remember our How It's Made series that we were working on for Easter, and we had the big gears on all the walls, right? Remember that? Yeah, we had the gears. And so Chris and I, Pastor Chris and I, were thinking to ourselves, man, let's not let those awesome gears that we have go to waste. Let's come up with a great sermon series with a couple of sermons with that. And so we sat down and we hammered that out. And so you heard his first part from that series 2 weeks ago when he talked about collective collaboration, excuse me. And so today I'm going to tell you my part of that. And so this sermon is entitled Find Your Fit, okay? Everybody likes alliteration. So gears, as we see on the monitors, gears are these things that have teeth and they kind of connect together. Gears are simple machines that produce work, and we, you and I, as gears in the machination of the kingdom, need to find our fit, harness the power of collective collaboration, and when we do those things together as a group, the work that we will be doing and the things that we will be achieving is expressing the love of God to the world around us. Amen? Now, I'm here to tell you today that there is a place for you to fit in the kingdom of God. Gears are connected to each other, so when one turns, it makes the other ones turn, right? We've seen that before. If one gear is just sitting there chilling, there's a decent chance that nothing is going to happen. But if one is next to it, it sort of spurs it on by its work, making that work continue. The Bible has a lot to say about things being together. When I think about the Bible, there's two passages that come to mind about this. The first one, it's obvious, would be when they talk about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. If you've ever been to one of our tag lessons over the last couple of years, you might have heard about it, because I love talking about this because I'm a unique individual. I often have a red beard that's approximately this long, and I often make jokes, and I like different music than you probably do, and I like to hang out with friends, and I appreciate various interior design shows on the Bravo Network and things like that that you might not expect from a big, burly man. And so I love the illustration of the body of Christ because of the fact that verses 12 through 14 say, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Basically, by making that determination, what they're saying is everybody. Whether slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This verse, this concept, the idea of the body of Christ, suggests the fact that individualism and uniqueness is not only allowed in the kingdom of God, but it's 100% encouraged. If you like to paint your fingernails in incredibly elaborate designs and put different things on them, then guess what? God wants you to be on the team. If you're a sweet, mild-mannered person, then God wants you to be a member of his body just as much as the person you might have judged earlier in the week for not being sweet or mild-mannered. God wants us to be on the same team. You might not necessarily feel like you fit in, but I'm telling you right now, you fit in with some social group. You ever notice how people who are individuals, there's randomly people that are just like them that they all hang out with, and so they're like, I'm so alone except for all the people that dress like me and talk like me and use the same slang I do. Even though you fit in a social group, chances are good that you fit somewhere and that that group of people that you're with could use the love of Christ. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, and I'm quoting from the New Living Translation here for ease of understanding. It says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I've become all things to all men so that by any possible means I might save some. I bring all this up to tell you that if you breathe air, if you are alive, then God, our God in heaven, died for you. Christ died for you on the cross. And if you breathe air, Redemption Church has been looking for you. If you are a human being, we think that you fit in great with us. Absolutely. I may be acting as some sort of mouthpiece that brings God's word to the people, but maybe you're the eyes of our Christian body that's going to see stuff that I can't see. I'm not particularly perceptive sometimes. You might catch something I miss. Maybe you're to be the feet of Christ that brings him and his word to some place that, you know, maybe we don't even know about yet. No matter where you fit, if you love God, you fit here. Okay? Second passage that comes to mind is a little more exotic. Solomon, King Solomon, he built the temple, Solomon's temple. It was a big deal, trust me. They were making a temple. They had been operating in tabernacles, which is basically like a tent that was in the desert, and they were making a foundational temple. And so in 1 Kings 6, the first permanent temple structure built since the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness had some pretty interesting instructions. All of the pieces were built in a different sort of way that if we were to try to do it today might give contractors fits. They took them and they built them and assembled them off-site perfectly. So here's the temple site. They took the things that would make the temple and they put them together in a different place because of the fact that they viewed that place, the temple site, as holy ground, and there would not be any hammers hit there. These temple items, these building materials, they were assembled in a way that there would be no labor done on the property that they had consecrated to God. And so they assembled these things in a quiet and respectful way away. In that same way, you and me, we're like the walls of the church ourselves, right? We are all beautiful pieces of the church. Every single person in our church gives us something different. Every single person that I meet gives me something different to think about and can change my life in some way. But wouldn't you agree that we're all kind of assembled off-site, right? Before you came to Redemption Church, you got sort of hammered out and you got put together in a different place. I would say that you were put together perfectly. I would say that your life situations and the victories that you had that gave you joy, the defeats that may have given you grief, and the challenges that you overcame and figured out, those are all things that go into making you who you are. When we come together under God's authority into this place that we have set aside and consecrated to worship, I mean, you may look at this building and think, well, there's concrete floors, there's some chairs that are okay, we got some lights, they play music good, there's some crickets sometimes. You might think that, but this is a place that we have dedicated in our hearts that we are going to worship the Lord. And so when we come together into this place under God's authority, we build a temple of praise to the Lord together. as a body of believers. Amen. Only we're not worshiping God by making something with sticks or bricks or anything like that. We're giving God our lives, and we're showing him that we love him with our lives together, collectively. In the same way, that expression of love to God isn't the same without your unique contributions. Everybody loves God in different ways, and we want you to love the Lord with us. My wife is good at painting. She would not tell you she's good at painting, but she would not tell the truth. She is good at painting, and she's decorated and done all these wonderful, beautiful things for us. And without those things, there were some sermon series that would have lacked. Ron built a giant haunted house for our Halloween series. That's not something that I know how to do. I mean, I may be able to preach, but I don't know how to make a haunted house. I mean, not one that doesn't break a lot. But we did that. If you see this beautiful fist that was from our Orange Revolution series, that was painted by people in our church. I know Ashley ran point on that, painting that up. And so all these unique contributions, all these different things, whether it be Chris Wall running sound or Sean jumping around and playing bass or Marshall taking offering or Christy doing stuff on QuickBooks or whatever it is, all of these things, these unique talents, make up our love that we give to the Lord. And that's important because Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. We know that. And everything that we do builds on the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." In a way, Jesus began a work on earth through his ministry here. In a way, he finished a work because he died for our sins and guaranteed us heaven if we would only believe in him. But in a way, he set some things in motion. He gave us a perfect example of humanity because although he was 100% God, he was also 100% man, and he was able not to sin in that situation. Lord, if you could help me to do that, that would be wonderful. But in the same way, Jesus also showed us a vision of a God who willfully became like us. It says he literally became sin to die for us. His words and actions are immensely important to how we live today. And the words that God inspired in the men who wrote them down in the Bible, those are things that we can use as a guidepost, as a guidebook. It's very important, and they help us to live out our day-to-day lives. Jesus' three-year ministry on earth laid the groundwork for the Christian church as we know it. So we're fellow workers with God, that's what it says. But that also means we're co-laborers with other people who have worked for God, right? There's some cool people that have worked for God. I mean, you think about it briefly and you're like, oh, Billy Graham, that guy's fun. He goes to Cowboy Stadium sometimes, not anymore as much. You think about the funniest preacher you've ever heard immediately. You're like, yeah. I think about Jensen Franklin, who I recently looked at his Twitter, and he's really funny. He's like a great evangelist, but he also like dresses up in a banana costume at Walmart, and I'm like, that's a cool guy. I like that 360-degree view there. I think about all these people who have so much to say and have lived such rich lives and have done so much for the kingdom, and I think, man, those are my co-workers. Those are the people that I'm working with. But there's people that are even greater than that. How about the apostles and the prophets? These great men of faith are our co-workers. When you think about the things that you do in your Christ story, in your journey, you might not always be as glamorous as getting stoned to death by enemies and then being all right. It might not be as exciting as being bitten by a poisonous snake and walking away unharmed and still preaching. It may not be as glamorous as standing and preaching to thousands of people that get saved. That might not be things that you've done. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't discount our contribution to the body of Christ. The work of the Lord's being done in all of our lives, and if we're in line with his will and operating in a righteous way inside of ourselves, then we are accomplishing goals just like the spiritual giants that may have come before us. The Lord can work through your simple contribution just as much as he can work through what could be considered a larger contribution. Another thing to remember is that God equips the people that he calls. God equips the people that he calls. A lot of people know the story of Moses, right? We've heard about Moses before. What you may not have realized about Moses is that Moses was not well equipped at first to deliver the messages that he had to tell Pharaoh, or even really to talk to his own people. It's widely believed that Moses might have stuttered. He wasn't a genius public speaker, essentially. But that's why God gave him Aaron to begin with. Aaron helped Moses speak at the beginning of his ministry. And so that was important. But by the end of his ministry, we see Moses speaking for himself, because God gave him help in his time of need, but then he equipped him and trained him up and made it so that he was stronger and he was able to handle it himself. And so God equips us to do what we need to do. He won't give you more than you can handle. Everybody likes that Bible verse. But the part that a lot of people don't think about is that God will stretch you a little bit. He'll give you something you're not necessarily comfortable with. He'll do something that changes your life in a good way, but it might be kind of awkward on the way. Finally, we need to not assume the Lord's plan for us. A lot of times we think we know what the Lord wants us to do. We're like, yeah, I got that figured out. At one time in my life, I thought that it was very prudent idea for me to go be a missionary to China. I decided that my life had become pretty terrible here, and I wasn't really interested in living it anymore, and so I was going to go be a martyr in China, and that was my plan. And would you believe that God shut so many doors for me to get there? They just kept slamming in my face, and there was no way I was going to get to China, and I was like, what is going on? I'm miserable. God, give me something to do. I'm trying to make the most extreme thing. This must be your plan for me. But if I had gone to China, I never would have come to Redemption Church ever. Never would have met Pastor Kevin at a Corner Bakery. Never would have met my wife. Wouldn't have my two kids. And life would be probably similar to the way that it was then. And that wasn't so good. He may have something more grandiose in store for your life that he's calling to you to. It may be more grandiose than anything you can imagine. It may be something bigger than you would think that you're even capable of. Because remember, God equips his people. The Lord holds you in high regard. We always talk about how the Lord's great and the Lord has everything and the Lord has all the money and the Lord has all the power, and you just put omni in front of something and that's the Lord. But the Lord holds you in high regard. We're his people. And don't be surprised if his plan for the scope of your life is a little bit greater than you can imagine. Because we've seen examples of this in the Bible before. Let's talk about David. David was a little shepherd boy, right? He tended dirty animals all day and was essentially a child. Samuel anoints him in the young period of his life, and you're like, okay, Samuel must be crazy. What's he doing? How is this little kid ever going to be king? How's that going to work? That's weird. That makes me uncomfortable. He's got so many brothers that are stronger and better than him. There must be a mistake. That's what his dad thought anyway. But God's plan for David was much bigger than David or any of his family could see, because God knew that the king that was currently in power was a little bit shaky. He was consulting with witches, and he was making mistakes, and he wasn't the man for the job, and he was definitely on his way out. And so God knew that a short time after his anointing, David would not only stop being a shepherd boy, but that he would become a national hero by killing the person that sought to enslave them all. And guess what? A few years later, David would become king. This little guy who had spent his time fighting animals in the field and tending dirty ones when he wasn't fighting things, this little guy would become a king that is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. He would become a man after God's own heart. And you see, David might not have seen all that stuff while he smelled like dirty sheep. He might not have sat around wondering how he's going to fix his sandals because of the fact that he had a lot of walking to do. He might not have seen that for his own life, but David trusted in God, and God used him to do mighty things for our faith. So we see these things and we realize that God will empower us. And he'll equip us for the things that he wants us to do. We're empowered for a purpose, okay? Think about the gifts and talents that God gives you. Just think about it for a second. We can think about it. When was the last time that you used any of those things to share the gospel with someone? That's kind of a funny question. If y'all know me, I talk a lot, right? I talk all the time. I love talking to people and I love making friends, but I'm not the person who's going to jump out there immediately and just be like, hey, there's one way to heaven. Are you saved? If you died tonight, where are you going to be tomorrow? You know, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to jump in your face and shout that out to you or call that at you a whole lot. If you don't want to talk to me about it, I'll definitely talk to you about it. And I want to talk to you about it. But man, sometimes we have to use our gifts and talents to serve the Lord. Yesterday, I was cooking breakfast for lots of people, and we were making food. We do a mission work over in Irving, Texas, in an apartment ministry, and making all this food. And one of the things we like to do is we like to invite people from our apartment ministry to church. It's one of our goals. We want to help people to have good lives together. We want to build community. But at the same time, if people have questions about church that they don't have people around them to answer, we want to be ready to answer those questions for them and help guide them. And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's cool. I like that. I was like, how am I going to make pancakes and somebody's going to come to church? That seems kind of silly. All right. But sure enough, we were making food yesterday, and my neighbor was down there hanging out with us, and we were just doing things, and I was making jokes because that's what I do, make jokes. You wouldn't know that from this sermon because I'm being very serious. But I was making jokes with my neighbor just hanging out, and he just looks at us and he says, oh, you go to church? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I can't remember the last time I've gone to church. You should bring me next week. And I was like, I will take low, slow pitches over the middle all day long. Yes, sir. I would be happy to take you to church next week. Man, use your gifts and talents to share the gospel with people around you. I typically don't freak out about public speaking. The only place I get nervous is here. But I speak well with people in some ways. And so I do this in various venues. I lead Bible studies for the kids on Saturday nights. I talk to people all throughout the week. And so that's sort of what I do. That's a talent I have, and so I give that talent to the Lord, and I use it to spread the word about him, the good news, if you will. I like hanging out with friends. I really enjoy hanging out with friends. It's something I like to do. You may not know that very much because the fact that I have two babies that take a good deal of my time, but I like hanging out with friends. It's something I really enjoy. And so when I see somebody who needs some friendship, I myself try to be there for them. Because the Lord was there for me when I was alone. And so since that has been poured into me, I pour it out of myself. That's what I like to do. We're given gifts and talents. We are empowered. That's a big word. We're empowered for a purpose. Redemption Church is a place where we seek to honor God with all of our gifts and talents, every single one we've got. We want to try to give God as much as we can. We want to bring everything we have and sacrifice it to him. If there are things you do really well and you want to do those things for God, then you fit in here. You can find your fit in Redemption Church if you have things that you are passionate about. I don't even have this in my notes here, but Joseph Higgins DJed for us at a church event. Joseph Higgins DJs. Thank you. What a nice way. Joseph Higgins DJs, and he's good at it. And it was something that you wouldn't think, well, how would that ever be in the church? Some churches don't even like instruments. But man, it sure did give a little punch to our lock-in, and it was fun, and we loved it. And it was great. So Joseph Higgins brought that talent. Sorry to call you up there. All right. If there's things you want to do, and you do well, and you want to do them for the Lord, you fit in here. Let's say that you're really talented at laser light shows. That's something you like to do. You like to do that sort of creative lighting. If you're exceptionally good at reading stories to little kids, if you're really into playing weird instruments, our stage is running out of room. Maybe we'll have to find a bigger one, right? So we can get some more people to play and just give to the Lord in song. If you love sports, if you play cello, if you are good at translating Koine Greek, call me. I could use a little help with that. Man, if you can do anything with skill, then we would absolutely love the chance to try to figure out how to use that skill for God with you. And I'm not lying right now. We want you to find your fit, and we want to be a part of it. You know, David was a shepherd. He knew how to lead sheep. We talked about that. He knew how to use his rod and guide them gently sometimes and not as gently other times. But God would use that patience. God would use that small ability in him, and he would use it to lead a nation, the nation of Israel. Saul, not the one that David was fighting for the kingship with, but different Saul, the one that would become Paul, he was taken 180 degrees in his life. If you don't know the story of Saul, just tell you real quick, he was basically like the Roman CIA, and it was his job to snuff out the Christian menace, really. And he loved God with all of his heart because of the fact that he believed so deeply in his Judaism, and he was so into it, but he missed the fact that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the prophecy. And so because of the fact that he didn't get that one little part, he put to death all kinds of people. Scary dude. Probably not somebody you want to hang out with. First time we see him in the Bible, he's holding the coats for the people who are killing Stephen. Paul. At the time that he was Saul, however, man, he was fighting God so hard. And who would have ever thought that God would use his passion and he would serve him just as fiercely as Paul? We all fit into the Lord's plan. No matter how weird or different you might feel due to your interests, skills, or passions, we at Redemption Church believe that God empowered you for a purpose and you can find your fit with us. So, let's keep going with this idea. Let's talk about gears a little more. As gears in the Christian machine, in the Christ machine, and the machine that spreads his love to the world, the same principles apply, just like gears in a machine that's around, like a coffee pot. There you go. I'm also here to remind you that a gear needs to be connected to the source for it to do anything, right? We talked about this before. If a gear is just sitting out there by itself, then chances are good it's not doing anything. But if a gear is connected to another gear that's moving, they both move together. You need to be connected to the source yourself. And a gear can only put out the force that it receives, right? I'm sorry to get all physics on you, but a gear can only put out the force that it receives. One gear is hooked up to a power source, and that turns. And as it turns all the other ones. That's how it works. I'm saying that you fit in here at Redemption Church. Your gear fits with us. Your gear goes right into place, and the life that flows from the things that we try to do and the things that our body gives you, that's life that can keep you turning. God gives us words to speak into your life through prayer and research and study. You're fed here and through your own personal Bible studies and through your prayer life. And all these things go into helping you turn when you're connected to the source, right? When you're connected to the source, they keep you turning. But man, it's not necessarily about what you're receiving, but it's about what comes out of you. Because of the fact that if you're a gear and then you're in the middle of a system of gears, then there's stuff below you, right? There's other gears that are below you. And so as you're poured into and you start to turn, the things that you're connected to start to turn too. And God's power starts to spread out through his body. This network of gears can do great, great amounts of work when it's hooked up to a source. When the people that you interact with and the people that you affect are turning because of your relationship with the power source, then that can be great, and things can really be accomplished for him. The Bible says in Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. You know, it's kind of a little secret that a lot of people don't think about, but you can only give to others what's been ministered to you, right? What you are able to give is something that you have been given. That's why we look in the Bible. That's why we study. That's why we seek after God's will in our lives, because we want to help others to find it. Imagine when you start operating in God's plan for your life, you really just go for it. Imagine how that could change the lives of your friends, your family. It could change the lives of your children. But you can't give what you haven't received. It's important for you to receive from the Lord so that that way you can give to those that are in your network. So that is our question today. That is where I bring us to. Obviously, I want you to find your fit, but the question is, are you plugged in? Do you feel like you're plugged in? I've already told you and bragged all over the place about Redemption Church, and we're a nice group of people that we really want to live life with you. We want to do life together and be friends. We want iron to sharpen iron in our lives, and we want all of us to get closer together with God, with each other. We want to find God's will in our lives. And so I've told you all these things that are nice things to say about Redemption Church. But let me tell you a little bit about God. Let me tell you a little bit about our power source. Let me tell you a little bit about what is going to be flowing through you and allowing you to change the world. Our God is so good. Our God is so faithful. The old song says, "He never failed me yet." I sang it in high school. I sang it in junior high. Loved it to death. He never failed me yet. And it is true. Our God cares about you. Through wisdom, even in the times where you feel like he might have failed you, man, I'm telling you right now, you can see the difficult things and you can see how they have shaped you through endurance and through figuring things out. And they've made you into a different creature. And I believe that there's a plan for my life, and I believe there's a plan for your life. I believe that we're not just floating around. God has a plan. Amen. And isn't it nice to know that God has a plan for you? Haven't there been times in your life where you've sat there and you thought, man, what am I doing? I mean, not like right now. I mean, right now I'm sitting here. I'm probably watching football because I like that. But what am I doing in my life? I mean, how many more times am I going to be able to get promoted at my job? Are we going to have any more kids? Have I really saved up enough for retirement? You think about all these things, and you think, man, is there even a plan for me, or am I just floating out there doing nothing? Is all this toil going to be for nothing? But God has a plan, and it's nice to know that just like David says in Psalms, he says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us. He has a plan for you. And you know what? Our God is loving, and he wants to give you blessings. But he doesn't want to give you blessings so you can hoard them. He doesn't want you to keep them all for yourself and sit on a Uncle Scrooge McDuck money bin. That's not what he wants. Cartoon reference to the 90s. I hope it's not 80s. But I'm telling you right now, God wants to give you blessings and fill you up so you can pour it out to others. There's a spot in the Bible where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And a lot of people think, oh man, that means blessed are people who are messed up. And bless them. Oh, they need it because they're poor in spirit. But man, poor in spirit, what it's saying there is it's saying that they don't have too much going on so God can give them things. They're poor in spirit because of the fact that God can fill them and that they can pour out. And in the way that a gear turns, God can turn them and they can continue to move and give that movement to the things that are out. The kinetic energy can flow. And so he fills us with gifts and blessings. And when we, in turn, give those blessings out to other people around us, our gear's turning, right? We're not just sitting there being still. We're not stagnant. We're not sitting there thinking about things to complain about or cry about. We got too much to do for the Lord. And I'm not just talking about missions projects. I'm not just talking about clean the church. I'm talking about sharing with people around us and telling people about the love of God. Our gear starts turning. And I'm telling you right now, my God does not make things that are broken. Okay? Nothing that he creates is broken. And so if you feel like you're not moving, it might not necessarily be because you can't move, but it might be because you're not receiving from the source just yet. And at Redemption Church, we want you to find your fit. We want you to find your fit not only with us, but we want you to find your fit with the source. My God is intentional. And I've referred to us as a machine before. I always like that analogy because the fact that, if you know, whenever anything fails around here, I go into machine mode. You can barely look me in the face because I'm just like, oh, let's fix this. Oh, okay, let's do that. Screwdriver, cleaning supplies. That's how I am. But man, we're a machine that gives the love of God to the world. We bring salvation with our words. We're able to talk to people and share the love of Christ. And as they accept that, we're able to see them come back to life. And not a life in this day, although they definitely feel a little bit better when they know that heaven awaits them. But we see them come to life as eternal beings. That's awesome. It's awesome. So the question becomes, are you plugged in? Are you regularly receiving from the Lord and sharing what you've received with other people? Because that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. You have to give of what you've been given for God to fill you back up. That's how it goes. If you've never felt the touch of God in your life, and you're here today, and you're like, man, that sounds good. I feel like if I was a gear, I'd be one that's just sitting inside a box all shiny and new, never taken out. I don't even know if I'd work if I was put in, but I mean, it's a hope. If you're feeling like that's you, man, I'm telling you right now, praise God. God wants you to move today. He'd like to pour into you today. In that same way, if you're sitting here in church and you're thinking, man, my gear is just a little bit rusty. I mean, time has weathered things. There's been a lot of water that's come through rain and downpour. You're in trouble when it comes from the top and then it comes from the bottom too. And you're like, man, I just don't feel like I can go on. I don't feel like I can move. That Strength of the Lord song almost made me cry in the middle of church, and I've only been here for like 20 minutes. If that's you, if you're feeling rusty and you're feeling like you don't know if you could move, man, come on down to this altar. Come on down to this altar and let's get moving together. Let's start greasing our wheels. Let's start figuring this out. Let's start becoming what God has for us to be. And let's start sharing that with other people around us. Let's allow that power source to turn us, and then in turn it will turn the people below us or around us. Let's let that happen. Let's start living our human lives, our lives that we live today, in a way that is more like our eternal nature. Let's start living in a way that impacts eternity. And let's begin to give of what we have received as we come to the Lord today. I'm telling you right now that Redemption Church is a place where you fit. I've said it to you a million times. But if there's a place where I fit, then it's a place that you can fit too. Because I haven't always been Sterling. I have not. Sometimes I've been Pewter. But, man, that's why it's so important for us to come to God. Is because of the fact that He loves us just the same. That's why we open the altars at Redemption Church. It's not like our rah-rah time at the end of the church where we're like, yeah, let's just get excited before we leave. That's why people are crying and stuff. No, we come to the altar at Redemption Church because of the fact that we want to give of what we have to Him. If our heart's broken and it needs to be fixed, we come and we give that to Him. Just like my son gives me a toy that's broken. He says, Daddy, fix this. Only it doesn't sound like that. But he says, Daddy, fix this. It's broke. It's stuck. Help. We come and we bring our broken hearts to God and we lay them at the altar. And He is faithful to heal. And so that's why we come to the altar, not because of the fact that, oh man, Pastor Scott preached a sermon that made me feel a little hair stick up on the back of my neck, and then all of a sudden I thought that I was a sinner and I made sure nobody was looking at me. I raised my hand and we came down and prayed. No. We come and we hash out things with God in our altar at Redemption Church. So as we fade the lights down, I'm going to just start praying, and I want y'all to join me in the altar today like we always do. We're going to come to the Lord and we're going to give Him what we got. If you want to be couple feet from the altar, 2 feet from the altar, somebody will pray with you if you want to have prayer. If you're like, man, I don't know about all this. It's making me think about things, and I don't know what I want to do. I encourage you to come close and let us pray for you. Pray for salvation for you. Pray for a new beginning, a new start, a fresh place. But if you're not sure about that, then just come into the altar and pray to God and ask Him to show you what you can be sure of. So I'm going to start praying as we come. God, You are holy, Lord, and we thank You for the fact that You are a God of chances, not just second ones, but first ones. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You love us as Your children.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us.